Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another CP Media podcast. Of course, Team CP, your endurance coaching specialist, bringing all of these great topics to your screen. Tonight, we are going to finally wrap up what was the most fabulous weekend in Tekapo, the Mackenzie, of course, the rekindling of the Round the Lake race. Wow, Richard Greer, I can tell you something. You want to know something?
Yeah, I'd love to know something. Give it to me.
You missed a fantastic day out.
How good. It was a wee bit frosty at the start. Were you a bit like, oh gosh, how is it getting out of bed?
No, look, actually, to be fair, it was quite warm in our caravan, to be fair. So, you know, it's pro athlete luxury things on there.
Right. Just at the start, right?
But no, actually, to be fair, now, look, there was a couple of little issues happened. We did actually have a sort of a half-hour delay before we actually got underway, which actually played quite well because I had to lose a jacket before the start because, it was definitely cold. We rolled down there and it was definitely cold. And I was like, oh, she's going to be brisk. But actually, that half hour bought us a beautiful window to shed a layer and actually just be comfortable all day long.
Yeah, good. What was the half an hour for? What happened there?
Oh, it was just a little technical glitch. There was just a wee technical glitch with the setup and a bit of traffic management and things. And so,
not Marcus with his timing. He was still doing what he needed to be doing
there. No, Marcus was on point, ready to go. Okay, but no. So, So, mate, you just missed. All I can say is you missed an absolute cracker of a day.
Brilliant. That's exactly what I want to hear. And it's good today. Like, this is great. We've got a review show on. And recently it's been you asking me about what I've done. But the shoe's on the other foot today. I can sort of grill you about your adventures and what you've been up to, which is fun.
Well, what I do know, though, also, is that you won't have this problem next year because you'll be there next year.
Oh, that's right. After missing out
this year, you will definitely be on that start line next year.
Right, that's right. And we've got there's been a date announcement too, so that's already sort of been put out to the world, I think, isn't it?
Entries are open. Richard, I'd like to tell you that I've already got mine in.
Is that right? Do you get to pick your own number?
It was such a fabulous day, mate. You just got to get your entry in, make sure you're ready for that start line. You've got a year to train for it now. And it'll just be something. If you've never ridden around that lake like I hadn't ridden right across that round that lake, we'll talk about how the day panned out later on at the end of the show, Rich, but you've got to experience it.
Yeah, good job. That's awesome. So we're gonna chat to you at the end of the show. You're going to save some stories for me of what happened. We're going to talk to Alice Bryce, who came back. She'd done it in the wintry days of days gone by. We're going to have a chat to Alice. And then also, we're going to have a chat to Kerry Uren, the race director, who got this race back up and running, got the community involved, got Devold, a fantastic sponsor, lined up with their Merino garments that you're wearing there tonight, Angus. Was that a winning prize or did you get that before you turned up?
I actually had that, mate, before. And do you know what? I actually wore it on the day. As my base layer, as my undergarment, and it was absolutely fantastic. In fact, if I told the story fully, I have a undergarment that I normally wear on the bike, but it's actually a short sleeve, you know, like a sleeveless thing. And I put that on and I went for a ride around the campground and went, holy shit, it's a bit cold. And between your arm warmer and your thing, I was like, what? I know what I'm going to do. So I went back and took it all off, put my Devold Merino top on to fill those gaps down there, and it was spot on perfect.
So committed to that. And did it get too hot at all, or you're pretty happy with that clothing choice?
We can talk about how that plays out later on. But actually, it was up and down all day long, mate.
Mm, yeah, nice. Okay, well, shall we catch up with Kerry? She's sitting in the wings waiting to share some stories from her perspective of the weekend.
Kerry, welcome to – hi, welcome. And, what have I done there? Look, let's just do that. How about that? we'll put you on the big screen, Kerry. First of all, I just want to say congratulations, Kerry. What an absolute fabulous event you put on. What a cracker day. I think it was actually me that bought the day, I think, last from the previous podcast, telling everyone we were going to have a fabulous day. So I'll take that credit. But for the rest of it, Kerry, what a fabulously run event. What an amazing vibe at the finish line. The day was just perfect.
Thanks, Angus. It was so exciting because the Mackenzie region is just beautiful. And then to have everyone come and experience it when it was like that was really neat because, you know, it's an alpine environment and not every day's sunny and beautiful, but it was just spot on. It's like it most of the time. And actually Lake Tekapo did get the sunniest region and sunniest town in New Zealand last year. So everyone got to see why. It was beautiful.
It was. was.
It's good though, isn't it? Because it sets up your social media campaign for the next 10 years or so, doesn't it? Like, you're just good to go now. You've got all that dialed in. You've done well. Like, because you organised Race Tekapo as well, and I think the first year of that was an absolute blinder too. So, hey, we all want to be involved for next year because you've organised weather like that.
I know. Yep, we certainly have. And I actually got a guy message me last week, and over the weekend, and said that he's done it 3 times, and every time it's been weather like that. So, the odds are in our favour.
Yeah. Good stuff. So how did it go overall? Because you've got a different perspective of than I have, looking from afar and looking at all the social media posts from Angus, sort of battling his way around the lake. How did it go from your perspective, Kerry?
Well, apart from the wee glitch at the start, which, as it turned out, was a traffic management issue, it turns out there was fog or something coming. We had some crew in Tekapo, and then some that came down from Christchurch, and they got held up a wee bit. So it sort of delayed the start getting, because we closed one lane of the state highway so the riders could get to ride up and sort of have an uninterrupted start. So it was just a wee bit delayed getting that set up. But as it turned out, I think it actually worked, like Angus said, it actually worked quite well. And everyone kind of, the sun, it actually got quite warm, didn't it, Angus? It was quite nice.
Yeah, it was so lovely. Yeah.
But apart from that, everything went an absolute treat. I think the only glitch was that our two toasty makers at our cafe blew up. And so people towards the end missed a toasty. But apart from that, everything just ticked along and everyone had a great time. So we only had a very small number didn't finish. And they were all pretty happy with how it turned out for them anyway. I think one guy had a broken bike. He was in the leading bunch. So I think he was pretty gutted, but the others had a pretty good time anyway and enjoyed the four-wheel drive back around the lake and a bit of banter. And it was really fun. We actually had a couple of locals who didn't make the cutoff, so they lost their numbers, but Angus, I don't know whether you saw them on the vintage bike.
I did.
Yeah. they had a great day, so that was pretty fun for them. And we were in the middle of pack down and left the gantry up, and they came shooting across the village green in Tekapo, and we had Piano Man playing, so we think that might be our theme song for next year. And it was just a really good finish. It was really fun. A really good day.
That's awesome. So they did make it to the finish line, but not officially. They survived. They got around.
Yeah, they did. And they had family looking after them, that at any point they'd had enough, they were going to get picked up. And one of them, even Jason from Foursquare, rang me up, and he was having a yarn down Lilybank Road. And they had a great day. So sort of summed up the experience, I think.
Yeah, so good. That's awesome. Highlights, any sort of key highlights that stick out for you, Kerry?
Definitely. For us, on a very personal note, but our daughter, our 16-year-old daughter, did the shorter loop. And thanks to Angus and Sandra, got to borrow a bike because we didn't have a bike that was probably up to it. And that was pretty special, sort of tracking her during the day. I had a quiet word with the safety crew in the management tent and said, if you get any notice of this number, can you keep me informed? I said, there's no favourites, but I said, I'd just quite like to know. And so she had an awesome time. That was pretty special for us on a personal note. But I think it's just all the stories. And we've had amazing feedback. We've never had an event like it where people have just been so happy about I think everyone was just seemed really happy and just had a great time. And the weather, and also we did manage to get across the river at the top of the lake because I'd had a really big rain event the weekend before, and it has taken quite a while for the Godley River to drop. So there was a little bit of stress on Thursday night trying to work out what we were going to do if we couldn't get across. So that was quite neat. On Friday morning, they got one of the locals involved, and we found a little section of the river that was quite tight, but I think we took a lot of learnings from the day. The lead guys were just so much faster than we'd anticipated. And so they actually bet the Swiftwater safety team setting up. And apparently they just turned around. There were 6 guys going along with their bikes above their heads in chest deep water. And they didn't really care that they hadn't made the right crossing. They just ploughed on through. And so that was pretty funny. So
I have to say, though, Kerry, that arriving at that river, and in fact, all the marshals, a huge shout out to all of your marshals and everybody that was helping you out throughout the day. I pretty much said hello to every marshal point as I went past, and everybody was cheering on and happy to see the riders come past. The river was just couldn't have been any better. Yep, we had to zig and zag, and I don't know. I need to go back and look at some Garmin data, but I think maybe 20 minutes for us to get across it or something. Like, just that's what I have in my head. Just by the time we rode across one direction to get to the first crossing, and then sort of, you know, crossed across and then rode back on another direction to get to the next one and across. But the thing was so well marked, and the river safety people that were there were just so friendly and just welcoming everybody in, and the actual track that they had cut across, that we did take across there, was bang on. Like, it wasn't swift, it wasn't deep. Bloody was cold. In fact, actually, I was really surprised at the river temperature, actually, that, like, you wouldn't have wanted to go for a swim. I believe Amy Hollenby might have had a swim, the winner of the women's race. So you wouldn't want to go swimming in it. You probably wouldn't have wanted to stand in it for an hour. But in general, actually, I was really surprised at the temperature of that river, that it wasn't probably as frigid cold as I was expecting it was going to be. But that's got to be said to the teams that were all involved there, and how that river played out and how well it was marked to get across. Even people like me, who are hardly functioning, managed to follow the wave.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that's cool. I think we did. I think everyone that was marshalling, they all wanted to be there, and it was I just gather from the feedback from people about the marshals out on courses, exactly what you've said, Angus. It just seemed like a really fun experience, and our aid stations were awesome. Like the girls who set up that first one, we had Jason from the Foursquare. They'd done scones and sausage rolls, and we did happen to have a can of whipped cream, and I gather there are a few photos I've been told that I probably don't want to see of the whipped cream antics up like. Did sound like they had a lot of fun, and I think it just sounds like the whole day was just awesome up there. So we had fun at the finish line, but it just sounds like it was really neat around the lake.
Brilliant, that's awesome. So what's any new adjustments? What's the plans for 2025?
So we've introduced a shorter race along the in out and back, because we're quite keen to include some younger riders and even some people with less experience or who might not want to go as far. So we've got a 34K out and back along Lilybank Road, because it is a cool road, and it's, you know, people say out and back, but you do get quite different views whichever way you're going there, just because of, you know, its location, which is cool. And we're also going to look to get Lilybank Road closed, so the residents will be able to get through, but just stops. There were a few four-wheel drives that went through there pretty quick on the day, and it just, from our safety point of view, it's just, there's a lot of notice and things. We'll be able to get that shut, talking to traffic management, which will make a big difference, I think. And other than that, things are pretty much going to keep the same. Like, it just went really well. We've changed a few of the race names to keep with our rural theme. We did have fun with the bark off, didn't we, Angus? That was pretty cool.
The bark off was great.
Yeah.
That was a great, very, very well done. Yep.
Yeah. And then and we also had the bagpipes, which was really cool. So we had bagpipes around the lake. So that was pretty neat. So I know they'll be pretty keen to come back as well. And it's a good fundraiser for them to get their band playing. And yeah, it just should be fun.
Nice. And the date's a little bit earlier next year as well.
Yes. Yeah. We were quite keen. Tekapo, on the whole, with their events, quite keen for us to keep things out of the school holidays. So this year we were a little bit restricted with a couple of things going on with one of the farms. So, and I know we had a little bit of feedback about the date being where the Epic is normally run, but yeah, we had a phone call with Danielle and had a great chat with her, and we've been assured that that date isn't an issue next year. So we thought we might as well grab it, because it definitely suits everyone a little bit better. And it's also the last weekend of daylight savings, which is nice as well, because it just means a little bit longer in the evening, especially when we're doing pack down and leave it warmer maybe. Yeah.
Two races make a series, Richard? I'm just thinking contact Epic, the Mackenzie. Right. You've got two marathon mountain bike races there. We've almost got a Otago series around two lakes. Man, imagine the trophy for that.
Imagine, like, is it for sale? Is it the Epic? Maybe Kerry?
No, I can't say too much, so I'll keep out of that.
I have no notice. I'm just totally spitballing here and thinking outside the Stanley game. How cool would Two Lakes be as a series?
The local guy who got us into this one, he was he'd come up with some ridiculous plan for something else. And I said, do we need some more wines for this one, Andy? And he said, I think you might need some gins. So we'll catch up with him another time, I think.
Dangerous. That's awesome. Lots of good stuff in the pipeline. That's fantastic. Nice work. So anything else to share as a review from your weekend, Kerry? Well done for putting it on. So good.
Oh, thank you. I think just in general, the community's just amazing. Like, they're just a really, I mean, if you could live there, you would. It's just such a cool place. And we actually stayed on for a few days afterwards, and we did a walk up Mount Cook at the Hooker Valley Track, and we did the Dark Sky Project on Monday night. And just, it was just a really, yeah, if you can stay on, I think next year people can stay on after the race and do a few things. I think it would help help their experience, because it is a cool place to be. But yeah, I just think the community and the way everyone gets behind it and the fundraising that goes on. Like, I think people too, you know, every entry fee is contributing to the local groups, because people are helping us. We can't do it all. So we've got quite a few groups like the Lions and the Tekapo Trails group and the school and things, and everyone's entry is actually contributing. So I think just a big thank you to all the community that get behind the race and help it make it so special, because I think that's the thing. That it's a point of difference was actually how everyone got behind it and the fun we all had. And it really is, it really comes down to the people and obviously the landscape. So yeah, you just have to come next year, Richard, and come and enjoy
definitely,
it.
Definitely, yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. No, lock it in. I'll definitely be there. And there'll be press-ups if I don't, or something like that next year.
Yeah.
An interesting comment that I just see here that's come through from those that are watching. So by all means, send through, if you are watching this live, feel free to send some comments through. I've got a couple that I'll read out throughout the night. But the first one I just want to read is from Lisa Christensen. I'm so wrapped this event has returned. My husband won it in 2004 after returning early from our honeymoon to do it. And this year he rode it again alongside our 16-year-old son, who came 10th overall.
That's cool.
Husband mustn't be doing too bad if he's riding alongside his.
Well, he doesn't actually say whether he rode the whole way to 10th. They're actually to be there, or
like 11th,
or whether we rode from the start there. But how cool is that?
Yeah, that's awesome, really cool.
That's exactly what this race means to people and how excited they are to have it back, Kerry. There was, by all accounts, on Friday night and after the race on Saturday, there was genuinely so much chitter chatter about the amount of returning people that were there and all the stories that they had to tell from those previous years. So it's not often something like that happens. So well done.
Thank you. And I would also like to say that I think the people riding it were amazing, because the stories of the camaraderie out on that course was really cool. Like people, like even our daughter, some guy stopped and gave a cramp stop because she was cramping, and another woman rode alongside her for a while because she was going through the rivers. And then there's some poor bugger ran 5K with his bike. So we had a really good spot prize from Tekapo Springs. So Emma from our crew ran over with it and said, I think you might need to go and have a spa and have a soak. And then one woman, she was running down Lilybank Road with her bike, and then some guy just was driving past and he was like, take my bike. And so he stopped his car and got his bike off the rack, and they swapped the bike, you know, the bike plate. And I think that's what makes it special is, you know, the people behind the scenes, a community, and then the ones who actually have come and ridden it and have that attitude for the day. I think that, yeah, it was just awesome.
Just making it work. And there's so many stories that we're not telling tonight of things that people have helped each other out to get around. And that's what makes it so special, doesn't it?
Yeah. And one guy emailed and said that he did learn. He said he took a lot of learnings from the day, but one of them was that he actually could finish that ride with 5 broken spokes on his one wheel. So I think pretty hard case stories.
Yeah,
I do see one other learning that's gone on there. I see on the website the muster of next year is 92 kilometres, Gary.
Yes. Well, I think we've all
figured out now that actually it was slightly further and maybe a bit more climbing than what was originally listed. But
yes.
I was thinking about that afterwards as well, that actually the river will determine how long that race will be each year.
Yeah, well, our daughter reckons we should be putting that little mathematical symbol, that little wiggle after the number, because it is kind of, sort of, yeah, it is kind ish, of, ish. Yeah, ish, because depending on how we get through that river. But we'd kind of a couple of weeks before, when we'd been doing a wee bit of marking and looking around, we thought it's probably going to be closer to 90. But then on the day, it, you know, pops up a wee bit. But and I think the mini muster was it was 65. It actually turned out to be 73. So anyone who did that ride did a hell of a day. So yeah, it was pretty cool. So yeah, we definitely did some learnings on those technical sides. So
you could just call it 100-ish, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Hey, look, if you rode to the start, rode home again,
you'd be able to do it. You could do it like an across the river twice, you know.
No, let's not. We could find somewhere else to go than across the river twice.
Come on, Angus.
Scrap that idea. That's not one of the ideas, no.
I'm just impressed with those people that rode their e-bikes and they're planning for 65 and all of a sudden they're 73 and they're coming home and their battery's down to sort of one bar left and they're like, oh, come on.
I know.
I'm working. That's impressive.
It was, I know, and actually that's one of our plans for next year as well, is to look at a really awesome alternate course, because we don't want to just do an out and back if we can't get across that river. So the farm owners there, there's a lot of land there that we can see if we can tap into and get a really awesome alternate route.
So well, I was riding with an ex on the way home. I was riding on the way back down Lilybank. I was riding with the ex. Sorry, mate, I don't know what your name is if you are watching, but he was the ex-local cop and is now the emergency centre in charge of the whole emergency services in the Tekapo area now or something. He was telling me as we were riding down Lilybank, up in the hill just to the left up there, there's amazing mountain bike tracks that run all the way up the side there, up past Round Hill or something. So
yes, there is. And actually, so Go Tekapo, one of our sponsors, they've got a bike touring business. They're going to be doing some bike tours up around Mount Hay Station. So there's a lot of great country up there and areas to explore. So we're going to get our thinking caps on and see what we can come up with for an alternate route. So yeah, just makes it a little bit easier.
One more thing, and I don't know where we're at this. Again, we probably should have had a pre-flight conversation, shouldn't we, about some of these things? But hey, look, this is good just to talk about it out here. Where did we get to? We've had a bit of chat afterwards. Where did we get to? Oh, P.S., the husband was a wee bit behind our 16-year-old this time.
wee bit behind.
Ah, good. Almost. Love the update, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's so good.
Where do we get to with actually creating a gravel category for the main muster around the lake?
Oh yes, so we had a great chat with Jeremy Presbury, who won the gravel ride, which was the out and back. Yes. So he had a few friends that were doing the full loop on gravel bikes. He was quite curious to see how they went, but he's obviously got great feedback because he's already entered and he's doing the gravel. He's doing the full muster on a gravel bike. So yep, so we definitely want to separate them. We'll do a mass start, but we'll have separate categories for the gravel and the mountain bike, because it seemed like some, you know, I mean, Craig Oliver, who won, he was on a mountain bike, and then there were other people that were coming through super quick.
Toby Roberts, who got second, was on his gravel bike. Craig was on his mountain bike, and Toby was on his gravel bike, and Sam Shaw, who was third, was back on his mountain bike as well. So Toby rides his gravel bike everywhere, did exceptionally well. I passed a couple of people with some flat tires down through the bluffs. And as I was on my bike, and I was going to tell this tale later on, but as I was on my bike, I was thinking, after all of that debate of which bike to ride, I was really happy I chose my mountain bike. But since you've been talking about having a whole gravel section, I have been slightly considering, actually, maybe we will, if we did it right and we picked our line and we slowed it up, maybe we can get down there okay. So
It'll be interesting to see what happens next year and what the times are like, because Craig was so quick, and he said I think there was a section at the river he'd gone the wrong way, so he potentially would have been, you know, under 3 hours, which I mean, it's just amazing.
Excellent.
I don't even know if you could drive it that fast, you know, like it's just so good. It's so quick.
Well, I did hear the story on the start line that you'd had the army through there and they got three punches on there. On their vehicles or something.
And
I'll have to be honest, I'm not sure how they got three punches, and it doesn't say a lot about our army. But
it was three different vehicles, Angus.
especially when halfway along and somewhere in the bluffs, one of the marshals or whoever it was, it was a Honda Civic, four-door sedan Honda Civic that had gone and parked in there. And the people I was around and then some other people I talked to later, everybody went, how on earth did that get there? Because, like,
I will say that the managers at Godley Peaks had very kindly put a grader through the bluffs. So I think that's why that made all the difference. So that, yeah, that's just another example of how into this event everyone is. And for them to go and do that was pretty cool because it was obviously pretty rough through there. So, yeah, you can thank Rachel and Grant Murray and for looking after your wheels, Angus.
Yeah, I'm quite a heavy rider, so I'm pretty bush. I'm pretty just all noise and just bash my way down things. So no, it was definitely a couple of times I did though. Think I just need to just pick a line. I'll just quietly pick a line because no one wants to be fixing a puncture or cutting a sidewall or doing anything like that. So
no,
it's good.
Awesome. Hey, Kerry, thank you so much for joining us, and well done on all the effort and energy you're putting behind the scenes. Is more than anyone else can sort of probably fathom of what you do. So hopefully you rest up and all the best with all that planning and the few gins that it'll take to plan the next year's event.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the laughs. It's been it's been a fun event to organise.
I was just going to say, you haven't gins of planning. If you need any help planning, let me know.
Yeah. I'll give you a ring, Angus.
Yeah. Thanks, Kerry. Congratulations. Bye. Well done. We'll be back. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Also, just quickly, a shout to Scott Wilson, who's watching as well, who was a volunteer there for the weekend, and he says he enjoyed it very, very much, and that everyone who came through his checkpoint were in great spirits as they come through. But Scott, thank you very much for being out there all day long. It was a bit chilly out there, but yeah, we can't ride around these beautiful parts of the country without people like yourself making it safe for us. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, no, it's done well. That's awesome. And yeah, thanks for the feedback, Scott. It's great that he enjoyed it, and hopefully he'll be back. And it sounds like there's going to be a lot of sharing of stories, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens next year.
It is. Now, I'm making a bit of a list for us, so stay tuned to the end, and I'll give you my version of the rundown. I've made a bit of a list of just a couple of wee things that go on there. But forget about me for a minute. Let's talk about Alice. Alice Bryce. Where is Alice? There she is. Look at that. Look, smiling. Now, she's taking her blanket off. That's good. I was getting a bit worried. I thought you might have been going to come on with your little blankie on there. But, hey, how you doing?
Good. I was just trying to think at this moment. I haven't stopped. It took me a few days to stop smiling after that event. It was just incredible.
Were you happy with how you went around it?
Well, I had to give my, what did I work out? I was 28 at the time when I did it last time. I had to give my 28-year-old self a bit of kudos, really, because she was on 26-inch wheels and the 42-year-old version was on 29-inch wheels, and I only beat her by 5 minutes.
She's pretty keen, wasn't she? She was given it. Was there any sort of motivation that was different last time? Was it survival because it was cold, or did you want to beat somebody else? Was there anything different going on mentally between the two?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, she didn't have two kids, so.
Okay.
But I know it was a high of 4 degrees that day, and at 5 o'clock it was -1. And this time it was just so much more warmer and such a good time of year to have it, that pristine blue sky after the frost and things. I think this time I was trying to pace myself and have a cruisy day. I'd just done the Oxford Odyssey Ultra 2 weeks beforehand. But once the vibe kicked in, I couldn't help myself, and I just went for it.
The good stuff. That's awesome. So it wasn't so much I just want to enjoy some time away from the kids and the family this time. It was actually I'm into this and trying to ride as hard as I could.
Well, it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be an adventure. I was supposed to stop for the scones and the toasties and have a great old time. I did take photos, but I started getting game face on. I just got sucked right into it. I stopped for a scone. And I made myself stop for the scone of the cream. Oh, my goodness, it was so exciting.
Okay,
and
good.
Then I got across those rivers and I got to the toasty bit. And I was riding with someone else who's probably going to watch this. And I was like, bugger this, I'm out of here. And I missed the toasties. And Scott Wilson actually had one pre-prepped for me. And he never saw me because I was like, I'm out of here.
Could you deliver it to the finish line, please?
I'm gone. I've got a mission on here.
So maybe next year Scott needs to do deliveries to the finish line, and maybe a scone with jam and cream at the finish line too, please.
Yeah, I think I need an end order.
yeah, that's awesome. Highlights of the day?
Easily the views and the weather. I really enjoyed the river crossings, though. It was such a good way to mix it up, but you've already debriefed them. I loved how Marshall, I was in the middle of the river And I was like, I really want to take a photo. And this marshal, who I'd never met, held my bike for me. And we're on the understanding that if something happened to someone, he was going to let my bike go. And I'm standing in the middle of the river taking photos. That was cool. The yarns, like talking to people on the trail, you sort of end up hanging on to someone for a while, don't you? And then finding out a bit of their life story. And then half an hour later, you're learning about someone else's life story. So that was cool. The private land, the fact that we can bike around Tekapo, like Lake Tekapo. How many people can say they've been around Lake Tekapo? And crossing, is it three stations? Was pretty spectacular. Pretty special.
Nice. Awesome. Those that are listening or watching, that's all flowery and nice and good, isn't it? But we want to know about some tough stuff. What was it? Did it get ugly at all out there for you, Alice? Like, obviously, you did put some hard yards in and the game face did come on. The red mist come down and you're all into it. What is there any tough moments for you out there?
Definitely the Lilybank Road one, eh? It's always got to be that home straight that's the hardest. And she'd said to us, Kerry had said to us in briefing that that Mount John will look like it's there, but it just kind of disappears and it's further away than you think. And you're watching it thinking, how far away is it? How many k's is this race actually? Because as Angus said, every year it'll be slightly different with the river. And I was biking with a guy and then he was too fast for me and it was all just a bit of a game. And then we got to the hill of regret, she called it. And people were pushing their bike and I was like, pick your hard here, Alice, pick your hard. So I ended up biking up the hill of regret.
Tell me, which one was the hill of regret? Was that the shingle one or the tar seal one?
No, I'm guessing it was the tar seal one, wasn't it? Because
I got up with
65K people around the end, so they were pooped, the poor buggers. And a lot of people were walking, and that was the one I noticed the most.
Right, because the photographer was on the shingle one, which was essentially the last one, which is what I thought was the hill of regret. And if it was, I was thinking, man, that tar seal one was the worst. Like, it was the worst climb.
Well, I just assumed it was that one because the guy I was riding with, he couldn't ride it. And then I was yelling at him, going, keep up with me, because he was stronger than me on the flat. I needed him. But I lost him.
Well, I'll tell you what the worst bit about that was, Richard. There's this, I don't know, do you know Lilybank Road very well, Rich? How well do you know it?
Not too well. No, I haven't been there.
In the middle of it was this the tar seal road on the way back. And you do quite a bit, and it takes a few minutes to climb up this thing and you're a bit knackered and I'm zigzagging trying to just not cramp and just trying to do everything I can to get up this hill.
That's good.
You know, and but, you know, what goes up must come down, right? So you do a lot of effort, a lot of climbing, and then you crest the top and there's bugger all down. And there was, the up versus down reward was way out of kilter on that hill, I tell you, way out of kilter.
Yeah, and I'm just to the top of Meta Plateau, and now I'm just going to kind of keep on pedaling.
That's disappointing.
I actually think there was more hill afterwards. Not as bad, but there was more.
Yeah, so we need to get some feedback with Kerry. Is you need a bit of a label next to the hill of regret so we know which one you're regretting the most.
Yeah, to or confirm. Maybe the most.
Yes.
Well, she's watching live. She's just, now that she's off, she's just put in there, we've now called them the hills of regrets. Pluralize them.
That's good. That's awesome. So any advice for others? Any learnings, any takeaways, anything you'd do differently or better next time, Alice?
Definitely enter is the key advice there. The feedback afterwards was intense. One thing, like, I'm not an e-biker, but if you're on an e-bike and you think, oh, the river crossings, what can I do? I spoke to a couple afterwards and she was on an e-bike and he was on a push bike. And so they biked up the side of the lake and then when they got to the river crossings, they swapped bikes and she pushed his bike through the river and he carried her e-bike out of the water so it stayed safe or whatever the words are after I'm after there. And he carried her bike across the water, river crossings, and then they swapped back and away they went again. I thought that was so cool.
It's great. That's awesome.
So not only do you need an e-bike to make it easier, but you also need a gentleman to go along with it.
Chaperone.
Yeah. I think there's two key points there.
I'm not sure if you'd give the e-bike back, would you, Angus? You'd be like, oh, thanks for that.
True. You might be gone, won't you? Yeah.
Hope you've got some battery life left. Yeah.
But I think too, like, people think 90Ks is such a blinking long way, but it is doable. Like, I was there when those last ones came in, and it was a 77-year-old man on a push bike, no e-bike, with his daughter, And they've crossed the finish line last, officially last, you know, before the did not finish time zone. And they were like, there was nothing negative that came out of their mouth. They were so happy with their day. And he's 77 years old and he did the 92 Ks on a push bike. So it is actually more achievable than what people think.
Yep. Just got to keep on keeping on, I guess, don't you? That's the thing. It's that mental game, really, just to kind of have small targets, keep on rolling, keep pushing, keep challenging yourself, keep eating and drinking, and hopefully you'll get there.
Absolutely.
Nice. Good stuff. That's awesome, Alice. Anything else to share to wrap up?
It was just so like the night before I was at Reggio and my key question was, have you done it before? And as soon as somebody came up to me that had done it before, their face just lit up. They were just so excited to have it back and to be there again. And it's similar to the guy before. There was a man who was doing it with his son, and his son was 2 when he last did it. And then he was doing it beside his son. And just, yeah, stories like that, it was just so cool. The 65-year-old, he had his birthday party in the event. So a local Brian from Timaru.
Brian Prestige, yeah.
65 on the day. Oh, yeah, he's a Team CP one, isn't he? Yeah. 65 on the day, and he had like his party on the trail, and then they finished it off in the at the accommodation that night. I thought that was so cool.
That's very well.
And he was
well
doing it with his daughter, who wasn't a huge golfer.
So the story there was, I was going to touch on that on my list of things here, but no, we can do it. The story with Brian was actually his 65th birthday, so it was bang on the dot of the 65th. So he was a professional government-sponsored athlete for the day. From here on in now, the government are paying him to race bikes. So, you know, professional athlete now. But what he did was talk his daughter into doing it, who does a few other things, but not really rides bikes, and sort of said to her, if we went on a picnic adventure and stopped and had a snack and did all those sort of things, would you ride it? So she said yes, and that's what they did on his 65th birthday, him and a few others, and they rode around the lake. Absolutely outstanding.
He gave me the impression that it was her idea. It's interesting how the story goes. Because someone said that he was so stoked that it was her idea. So
we'll
find out there whose idea this was.
We'll hold him to account. We'll hold him to account.
Yeah, so good, so though. Good. So good.
That's awesome. Well done, Alice. So I take it you've already entered for next year?
No, I'm a bit slack on that one, but I shall be, and I'm stoked it's not in the school holidays.
Yes, that's right. Was it the weekend before, and then school holidays start after that? Something like that.
It was the middle weekend of the school holidays.
This time, next time.
Oh, next time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It will be. I'm pretty sure
it's the next day I went and did the Otago Rail Trail with my kids.
Oh, that's awesome. So good.
It's been a big week.
yes, you've done well. Excellent. Okay, well, you go and rest up, and awesome. Yeah. Well done. Thanks for some fantastic feedback and all the best for the next adventure.
We'll see you there, Richard, next year.
Yes, we will do. We will do. Better do. Goodness. Precious mountain.
Thanks, guys.
Cool. Cheers, Alice.
Thanks, Alice. See you, bye.
Good stuff, maybe. Angus. One of the key things I want to know about is your nutrition strategy. I think we tried to organise that in a few podcasts. In the lead up, like it was just give for Angus a snake, a jet plane, throw him something, help him out, give him a bit of a push and a gel. What
got nothing,
there?
Mate. Got nothing.
Was that because you're going too fast? Nothing. I've heard a couple of comments come through that I was rolling with Angus and then didn't have any legs left and he carried on.
That's
maybe
a really good story. I saw that comment there and from Nick Webb, and it says, I rode and chatted with Angus up and around parts of up into the river and he ran out puff and got dropped. So Nick actually was the Facebook entry winner for this race.
Okay.
And won his entry through the Mackenzie Facebook competition. So, and we ended up, he actually, to be, if we're all honest, he caught me up originally on the way up when I was having a wee couple of issues. And we did. And we rode for a while. It was the furthest he's ever ridden, I think, if I'm rightly correct there, and we went through the bluffy bits together and sort of up and around there. In fact, I've actually got something I have prepared, because I've got a, like I said, I've got a few topics of discussion to go through here. And one of them, I need to have a big shout out to Marathon Photos. If you did the event, make sure you purchase your photos from Marathon Photos. They are absolutely stunning. There are some amazing photos, as you can imagine, on a bluebird day up in those backcountry there. So there's a key to taking photos. So if I just, what we can do is introduce Nick here to everybody. And this is Nick here, 11:38 in second wheel there. We can take note of Coach Aaron in third wheel there. And actually, that is actually me there, leading up the hill
on
there.
The front with a smile on his face, and I'm helping these other guys out up the hill. I like it.
How easy does that look like I'm doing that, Rich?
It looks like you're doing it so easy, and your pink shoes are a standout.
Oh, absolute standout. So here's my tip. Here's Angus's tip to getting a good photo. Keep your eyes peeled. From leading up to that hill, that's around the bluffs, leading up to that, I could see the flashes going up atop where the camera flashes were going.
Yeah.
And let's just say I was not on the front of that bunch at that time.
You were sitting third wheel, I'd imagine.
I was sitting third wheel. A little wee shuffle, a little wee push past.
I've got this, lads.
Right on time. Let the record be straight. I was the record will forever show that I was leading those three.
Rolling up the hill. And then I'd imagine, like, I don't know, maybe five or six pedal strokes later, we sort of crest the top of the hill. A drink bottle comes out of the drink bottle cage. Have a drink. Just pull over to the left. Okay, lads, carry on. And then sit on the back.
Number three. Were you there?
I played the game.
It was great. It was super well played. And so that's Nick. And I did. I really enjoyed his company. And actually, I really needed his company right when he caught me up, actually, because the day, you know, like we've talked about, the day was great. I went down there. The previous podcast we talked about that I had been sick.
You had been quite sick. I wasn't sure if you even got to do it.
Well, I'm still sick now, Rich, so I shouldn't have done it. I was still very sick that week. I was sick that night, like just flu and you know, immense amounts of snot and all sorts of things going on. And in the end, I decided I would do it. We talked about whether you should race sick or not race sick, and I probably don't actually recommend it because, like I said, I'm still sick now. I haven't recovered. I'm really struggling to actually get through whatever I've got. But what happened was, is I got off the start line, and it was such a fabulous day, and away we went, and down the Tarsiel Road, out round past the observatory and things, and there's a couple of bunches forming, and I'm like, oh, I really want to be in that bunch there, and I had a mate, Johnny Nick, he was in that next bunch up, and so I worked pretty hard trying to get to there, and I sort of got to that bunch, and then it broke again, and I was trying to hang on, and I really just went too hard, spiked my heart rate, and maybe about 15 odd Ks in or so, I started to cough. And once I started to cough, the coughing got worse, and then I ended up throwing up. So I sort of rode along and threw up out the side and washed a bit down and carried on coughing away, going. And so I thought, right, I really need to back this off right here. So I sort of backed off of it. And then in the distance came Nick, and then actually Aaron Hooper, Coach Aaron, caught up as well. So we were sort of three together with a couple other people for quite some time up the side of the lake there. So it was good. Shout out to Nick. Thank you very much for keeping me company and keeping me actually on the game.
Weren't the tactics, I'm sure we didn't talk about the fact that we'll just sort of start a little bit conservatively and finish off a bit.
Yep, okay, we did.
I'm sure we talked
that's
about that.
Exactly,
but
exactly what we talked about.
And I knew exactly what would happen, and that's exactly what did happen. Get fired up.
I tell you. Into it, I tell you. You just can't help yourself, can you? But, you know, and in my brain, in my head, I was thinking about if I work hard now, I'm going to get on the back of this bunch and then I'm going to do nothing for a fair chunk of it. So I was working hard for a period, but trying to sit myself in the right place so that I didn't have to work hard after that. And I just didn't quite have the legs there. So it didn't quite play out that way. To start with, so that was okay. So we backed that off and we just went about what we had in front of us.
Took and a couple of concrete tablets and sort of just carried on.
Took a pure gel and a few of those things along the way. And but it's some interesting things that go on and through your head, and as you're going up there and taking in the beautiful scenery and things, and looking at your speedo and thinking about how many Ks you've done, and like, you know, you sort of see the end of the lake and you go, oh, that's cool. Right. There's the end of the lake. Right. We're getting close now because we've gone past the end of the lake. But it's actually a long way up past the end of the lake before you actually get to the river part to cross it. So you've got to feel
like how far? Like, what are we talking here?
Like a mile? A long way, but not actually probably, you know?
Yeah.
It probably just gets a bit slower there. The ground's a bit slower, so it probably just felt like it took a lot longer there. But I was riding along there until the penny finally dropped, because I am thinking that the river's halfway, right? Like, that's where you cross the river and you turn and go back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm thinking, actually, the aid station for the out and back is at like only 38 kilometers or whatever it was supposed to be on the other side. And it's once you get through the station thing. So all of a sudden the reality's kicking in that actually, shit, we've got to be like 50 Ks or so before we're actually across the river, before we actually get to the turnaround point. So I had to have a wee little wee realignment in the old head there, where my kilometers were at and where the end of this lake was. So
my expectations and how far I've got to go.
Yeah, it was just an interesting thing, you know, just sort of in my head to start with, for whatever stupid reason I had, that the river crossing was halfway. It's just not quite halfway. So,
okay.
But no, that was good.
Any other key learnings or advice for others for next year?
Well, a couple of things. No, actually, I'll tell you what I did do is, well, actually, this is actually how the rest of it played out. I was with Aaron Hoover, Coach Aaron, and we'd sort of said, we'll stop at the aid station on the other side, right? Guess what? I only took two bottles is what I actually took. I didn't take anything. I was going to stop at an aid station, fill one up, and I was da-da-da. Yeah. And they were 750 mil bottles, actually, to be fair. So a fair bit of fluid. While I was crossing the river, I actually swapped the one out of my back pocket, put it in my frame, put the other one away, and sort of got myself ready. And we left, and we got out of the river, and Aaron was starting to struggle. And previously, while I was riding with him, I thought he was doing it easy because I was working really hard and making a whole lot of noises, and he was as you know I do. Yeah. And I was like, oh, man. And then all of a sudden he started to, oh, geez, my legs are blowing up. Blah, blah, blah. The old race brain starts ticking away and I start thinking about life. And as we get to the aid station, once you get through the station and he's sort of, Aaron's just dropping off the back there just a little bit.
Is there another photographer about then?
No.
Okay.
And you go left to go to loop into the aid station, or you just hook right to carry on up the road. And just as I was doing that, I saw these two guys ahead of me. And once again, I went, if I'm on the back of them, I'm going to get a draft down here. And so I dropped the hammer, turned right, didn't go left to the aid station, and away we went.
Shall we stop at the aid station, Aaron? I think it'll be really fun. Let's go and do that. Oh, about that.
We didn't genuinely have a handshake.
Like he's got your toasty. I've got your toasty for you there, Angus. Oh, where's Angus?
We didn't genuinely have a handshake on that day. We just sort of talked about it. You know,
talk to Aaron. Is he going to yesterday? Race. Doesn't look like
it. Anywho. So on the way home, one thing I did do on the way home was before one of the big hills. I stopped and got my little bottle of chain lube out that I had at a very handy point. Wasted about 20 seconds or something throwing lube all over the chain, and it was probably, should have probably done it the 5 minutes earlier when I first started thinking about it. Like at the time I thought about it, I probably should have done it then, but you know, the gears just started to slip and muck around. So I stopped before the next climb and did that. Man, that was just like free speed. It was like dropping 50 watts out of what I was having to put out and free speed by doing that. So that's a bit of a tip. So by the time you've been through a lot of creek crossings and a lot of watery areas up the left-hand side, and then, of course, through the river and then back through the sandy, shingly roads of the stations and things, it doesn't take long for that chain to get bound up. So there's my wee tip. Take a tiny little bottle of lube. Don't need a rag. Don't need anything. Don't worry about wiping it. Just relayer it with a bit of lube and good to go. Take that and do that. That was probably my one. I'm pleased I did that. I was my regret was probably I forgot to pack the cramp stop. That also probably went along with my regret that I only took two bottles. And I was probably running on vapor by the time, and the both bottles by the time I was nearly back at the end of Lilybank Road.
And that's when we did that nutrition. Maybe we talked about gels and jet planes and things, but maybe it was, could you just bring a bottle for me? Like, maybe did you give your bottle to Aaron? Probably he's got it. If you'd slow down, Aaron would have had it. Angus, I got your bottle.
Yeah, I was looking for the team car, but there wasn't one there. And there was I look back, I was just on the task, and we're just about near the, getting pretty close to the end. There's been a guy, I don't know who he was, but he'd been closing in for some time. Like he'd been getting closer for a while, and he was starting to get a lot closer. And I was like, right, I really should put a bit of effort in here and make sure he doesn't beat me and, you know, get one more up, up the field. So I put about three pedal strokes and cramped up in both legs, sat back down again and went, come on, pastor. Enjoy the ride.
You're
and,
doing well. Looking good there. Finish strong. Yeah.
And had to just like, I managed to just keep pedaling and spin it out a little bit, but I had to be those last couple of kilometres I was on pretty tender hooks
all the way. But that's good. That's good. You've obviously put a good effort in. Lungs probably didn't enjoy it so much as what they should have. But yeah, nice to finish and finish knowing that you've given it a good effort.
Yep, finished with a smile. Was great rolling into Tekapo there, and yeah, like I've said 1,000 times tonight already, it was absolutely a stunning race. Probably a couple of things that obviously happened throughout the race. What do we have? We had. Obviously, we talked about that. Craig Oliver, 3 hours and 4 minutes to do the full thing right round. The story of Toby Roberts, who was second, and Sam Shaw, who was third, and they were only a minute apart, but they were maybe 8 minutes back from Craig, is actually that they missed the start. And there was a starting pin, obviously, off the thing, and then there was quite a lineup to get round and get into the start gate. And I was talking to Toby afterwards. I never actually saw him come past, but I saw Sam Shaw come past me when we were up the road, like quite a wee way up the Tarsil Road, and roaring past. And I thought to myself at the time, I was like, man, that's weird. What are you doing way back here? Like, you're making your day hard. Anyway, apparently they were standing there together, missed the start, had to quickly jump the barrier to jump the queue, and then took off chasing. Caught Craig. I believe they caught Craig on the way up to the lake and were sort of there with him at the river.
They were working together, were they?
Look, I don't know the detail. I just know that they did work hard and get back to him. Sam crashed, I think, and fell off somewhere just getting through the river or something, which just offset him. But, they made their day probably a whole lot harder than what they needed to. Amy Hollamby, of course, from Timaru, she took out the women's event. And something else, I was really impressed by those doing the mini muster. We caught up to a lot of them sort of up the top end by the river. Some really great people riding some bikes out having it, and they were having an adventure, I guarantee that. So that was really good to see. The gravel race, the out and back up Lily Bank Road, the gravel race for everyone that I've talked to there and that did that race have all said that actually how different the road is to ride in each direction. You know, you're sort of like Kerry said before, it's an out and back, is it? But everybody sort of said, Jesus, it's quite a different road to ride out than it is to ride back, which was interesting. Jeremy, who won that in 2 hours 15, that was pretty sharp as well, really, to be fair, for the 78 kilometres or whatever that was. I think he had an average on that gravel, and it was pretty corrugated in some places still, of like 34K an hour on a gravel bike. So he was pumping down there.
How was the grader that went through? There was a chat in a previous podcast that Kerry said, should we bring the grader through? And I said, yeah, maybe, but only if this and this and this. So I was like, oh, how'd that go?
It was a bit hard to see it probably wasn't that hard to see what they did and where they didn't. There was still some corrugation. There was probably some lumpier soft bits that were caused because of the grader. There were certainly a few sections that were really hard to find where the most efficient place to ride down them was. There were some pretty soft, thick bits that I thought, that'll be a bit tricky on the gravel bike to catch a wheel and you know, try and hold a straight line. But all in all, it was all part of it. It was really good. On a CP front, great to see so many Team CP athletes down there, everybody having a good time. We had George Paul was on the gravel bike enjoying his new gravel bike. That was great to see. Jaden was there. He was rolling on a brand new mountain bike. Jaden was. So that was it was pretty fancy. So great to see him there. Jules was there. He'd hung up his running shoes and taken his mountain bike and gone for a lap around the lake. So that was pretty impressive. Ludsy was there. It was great to see Luds go do a lap around there too. And probably a big shout out because we had a podium. We had a podium person in the CP team. Of course, the very own and your right-hand lady, Richard Greer, Sandra, got third overall in the gravel race.
Yeah. Have we got her on as a guest? What's the story?
No, well, that's right. Yeah, where was your invite there? Sandra managing to get on the podium there.
Really good.
Along the way there. So very, very successful weekend. Grant Boyd, of course. Big shout out to Grant Boyd. Actually, it's still got a list of shout outs. Grant Boyd coming down from Blenheim and bringing a whole lot of people. They had a great weekend. Yes, Megan was there. Grant Guys, of course, Grant, and our local Jewelbo man, he went exceptionally well. I think he was 3 hours 27 or 37 or something. Grant had an exceptional day out on the bike. So, all in all, fantastic. Everybody represented very well. The event was marvelous. And get out there and enter it.
Just like that. Good stuff.
I
think you've done very well. That's awesome. Yeah, good adventure. Like, I think that's the thing with riding a mountain bike, isn't it? You want it to be an adventure. Exploring somewhere new is a big part of it as well. And just getting up there and challenging yourself and seeing if you can. So all those things and the camaraderie and things, there's lots of ticks in pretty much every box. And Kerry's done well. Look forward to seeing what's coming up for next year as well, all the different sort of things he's going to adapt, learn from, improve and develop as well.
Like the Round the Lake series.
Yes, exactly. I think we've got it.
Have we created something here while we've been talking?
We could have. We'll see. We'll watch this space. Good job. Well done, Angus. Well done for putting your body on the line and being the crash test dummy for this one.
Oh, it was brilliant. 2024, the Mackenzie Round Lake Tekapo, brought to you by DeVol. What a fabulous event. It's been great to host these podcasts again, Richard, alongside you, to bring this to everybody. I think favorite podcast has got to be this one, actually, just debriefing on what was a great event. I'm still smiling. I know Alice in the background still smiling. Everybody just had a fabulous day. So all I can say is entries are open. Check those dates. Check those race categories. Get one in the mail now, and we will see you again 2025. We can do this all over again, Rich.
Yeah, well done, well done. Go and bask in your glory, Angus. Job done.
Thank you, everybody. We'll catch you again.